I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Donna Spencer joins me again. The Fire Hall Art Center's artistic producer is on to talk about their new production, The Enemy, an adaptation of Ibsen's An Enemy of the People, which Ms. Spencer adapts and directs. Set in a contemporary small town in British Columbia, Dr. Stockman becomes a pariah when she discovers the pollution in a local spa and water park threatens the town's tourism industry and economic well-being. Soon, her truth is branded fake through social media and the news. It's a timely work. I'll get Ms. Spencer to tell us about the various themes explored in her adaptation and in Ibsen, whether it's political extremism, corruption, environmental activism, and accountability. There's just so much to unpack. The show stars Jen Griffin as Stockman and features Paul Herbert, Peter Anderson, Daniel Arnold, Sharon Crandall, Braden Houl, Michael Scholar Jr., Donna Suarez, and Agnes Tong. The show runs at the Firehall Art Center, 280 East Cordova, Vancouver, from the 10th of November through to the 1st of December. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Donna Spencer. Ms. Spencer, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
So for people unfamiliar with Ibsen, I mean, it is, of course, the Enemy is adapted from An Enemy of the People. So I mean, it's been so long for me since I've read it. Would you remind us sort of, well, I guess tell us what goes on in The Enemy?
Well, in the original production, or the original script, which has been translated and done in Western countries in English ever since it was first produced.
Uh-huh.
It was a story of, actually, Ibsen wrote it because he was very upset with a review that he had received for Ghosts, a production that he had done, and that the majority of people that liked the play didn't see the validity of it. And he basically chose to write An Enemy of the People in response to that saying that individual right or individual views should continue to be accepted in the world. Anyway, within that play, how he constructed it, it was really the story of a doctor who decided and worked with his brother, the mayor of the town that they were in, to create a health spa and a source of revenue for the local community. And in that particular town, what ended up happening was the spa, as it was called, became contaminated. So it became a war between the one brother who basically said, we have to keep it open, and how do you know it's contaminated? And Dr. Stockman, who said, I'm a scientist and a doctor, and I know it's contaminated. But it was really a kind of a discussion around, is the majority always right? And what are the options for freedom of speech? And there were so many more things in it as well, because, I mean, of course, it was written in the late 1800s, and the play was like five acts. So there was, you know, family relations. There was a whole discussion on drinking and alcohol consumption. So it was there was a lot in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I chose to adapt it, I focused on, I wanted to give voice, a strong female voice in it, so Dr. Stockman became a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to highlight the contamination that is happening in our water through what I'm calling garbage farming, but up in by Lytton, there's a whole valley that's been contaminated by the wastes that are being brought up there from Vancouver and put down on what could be perceived to be, or I don't know. I've heard various people say it couldn't be agricultural land, and I've had other people say it could be agricultural land.
Yeah.
But pollution seeping into the aquifer. So there's the whole argument about all the different things that are polluting the waters at what in our version is called the Healthy Springs Spa and Water Park. And, of course, there's a whole discussion of, is the majority always right? And what is democracy? Is it always democratic if the majority is right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it becomes a whole discussion about whose voice should be listened to.
And it's awfully timely that you've done this.
Well, yes, there's the timeliness of the contamination of water, but there's the contamination there's a discussion that's going on around proportional representation.
Right.
So it is very timely.
Yeah. What? But obviously, you didn't start this, say, last week, the adaptation and the sword.
I mean,
there are wider implications for all of this as well. I mean, when you talk about the press, say, and social media, especially in this day and age, you need only open a newspaper or turn on the television to see what's going on elsewhere, and the themes in The Enemy are awfully. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's scary to think about just how profound they are at the moment.
Well, true. I mean, even in the original version of it, of course, there was the press, and the press was convinced by the powers that be, essentially the mayor and the governing body, that they should not print the information about the spa being polluted because it would destroy the business and the livelihood of the community.
Yeah.
So there is not necessarily, it's not necessarily making the press look particularly good. And, of course, I've tried to integrate social media and tweets and things like that just in terms of references, but just to sort of take us into the contemporary. Now, I have mixed feelings about when the press is right and when the press isn't right. I really do... rely on news sources to sort of find out what's going on, but you can't always tell whether or not it's right.
Yeah. I mean, you know that from your business
in
the theater, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think in the arts you see that really criticism is one person's opinion, and artistic, it has become one person's opinion, really, in terms of certainly the level of criticism. With due respect to all those who come out to see our shows and write about it, has kind of become a very personal view on the art form as opposed to an analysis or anything like that.
So we're taping this about 10 days before the show opens. You're in the process of working with your cast, rehearsing this. What sort of discussions are you having about the themes in The Enemy? I mean, it must be great for them that they're able to work with a director who knows the work. As you do, because you did the adaptation.
Yeah, it's been really fun, actually, because of course, I did adapt it in 2002, and then it's been done a couple of times, and every time, not by the Fire Hall, it was done by the Fire Hall in 2002, but it's been done a couple of times by others since then, and every time I've tried to tweak it a bit, but really, in this version, what we've been doing is trying to. The cast has been sort of suggesting some of the language be contemporized, which is great because I've kind of had my head in it and I've missed it. But so in the room, I'm sometimes going, okay, this is Donna Spencer, the director, speaking now. Or, oh, Donna Spencer, playwright, what do you think of that? And they laugh. They've been very helpful and they're very engaged in the political discussion. It's, I mean, every day we sort of check in on what news people have heard. And, you know, I think... I would have to say that, of course, in the theater, a lot of people are certainly progressive thinkers, not always engaged in politics, though.
Yeah, yeah. The character of Stockman, what's fascinating is that, as you said a moment ago, you made her a female. And that in of itself, I mean, when a woman challenges the status quo, that's very different than when a man does. And was that important for you to examine, say, those themes and sort of the interactions that happens for a woman as opposed to anybody else, say?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. In the piece, she's referred to as being hysterical and high-strung when she takes a stand. I think it was very important for me to sort of ensure that that aspect of how sometimes powerful, outspoken women are challenged, and if they become emotional, they're usually called hysterical, whereas a strong, vocal voice man might be called, he might be just simply called strong or determined.
Right.
And I don't think very often do we call politicians, well, there's some that should be called hysterical, but I don't think we call male politicians or male doctors hysterical if they're fighting for a point they believe in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really important to show that And also to talk about it with Jan Griffin, who's playing the lead, to make sure that it wasn't, that we did not get overly sentimental about things, because I think that's another thing that, women are sometimes accused of being, is overly sentimental if they want, you know, if they care about something. But, yeah, it was very important to do that. And when I think back, I mean, someone asked me why I decided to make this role a woman, and I went, well, I guess it's because I've always been quite fascinated by the play and the discussion about majority, is the majority always right? And also the environment, of course.
Yeah.
But Ibsen's work, I mean, most of the women that he writes about or has written about are Hedda Gabler shoots herself because she's a strong woman, and The Doll's House, Nora is, you know, so that his women are not particularly... I think they're well written, and I think he has a sympathy and empathy for them. But I kind of went, well, why couldn't Dr. Stockman be a woman? And this was after I had seen the production done. I think it was in the National Arts Center, and I went, yeah, that play, you know, it could be contemporized. These are all issues that we need to be talking about. So that's kind of how it all happened.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you saw it, what, 16 years ago, 15, 16 years ago. Or
yeah.
You started the adaptation 1516, and yet every so often, I guess we need that reminder again. I mean, with what's happening in the news and the sort, I mean, it remains timely, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I mean, I don't think a Canadian audience right now would want to sit for 4 through 5 acts.
Mm-hmm.
And Shakespeare, we know that everybody's adapting Shakespeare. So I think there have been a number of adaptations of various Ibsen plays. But I really felt that this message needed to be updated. And it's interesting. An Enemy of the People is getting. It seems to be. Someone said to me, "Oh, did you know that it's having a resurgence?" And I went, "Well, not really, but apparently it's being done in a number of places in the States right now, and for very good reasons."
Yeah. I mean, even that phrase, I mean, the president uses that.
He does, doesn't he? Isn't
yeah.
that, you're an enemy of the people. So it was, that's another thing. It was like, oh, my God. how does one make sure that it's when it's used in this production? I mean, it seems like such a huge, heavy statement to tell somebody that's an enemy of the people, and yet we have a president saying that and calling people traitors and in one of the countries that's, for many, many years, seemed to be the leader of free thought, freedom of speech. Anyway, it's very, very concerning, I think.
Yeah, well, one wonders when we view the spectacle in the United States today, if it can be withstood or we can survive it all. I have the feeling, and I don't, you can disagree or disagree, but I'd be interested to hear what you think, but whether it'll get worse before it gets better, probably, right?
Well, it seems to be headed that way. I mean, I just, I would hope, I try to have positive, I try to be hopeful and positive because I, you know, I see all these wonderful young people that deserve a chance to live in a country, in a place that's not so polarized. But it certainly seems to be heading to this this, whether it's destruction, I mean, when the Jewish synagogue shooting, the stance he's taking. I mean, you know, these people that are coming to the border and how he's manipulating, or it appears, I think, from the outside that he's manipulating the press and his followers to believe that this is all because of the Democrats. And I'm not engaged in American politics. I'm viewing it from the outside, but this kind of manipulation is just so scary.
Yeah.
And so polarizing, and, you know, pitting people against each other is not the way to build a healthy country.
And through all this tumult, I mean, it tells a lot of people the importance of the arts, and especially now. And you must feel that keenly through your work.
Oh, I do. I mean, I feel at this stage, I mean, I've always believed that the arts, certainly the theater that I work on, had a, I mean, that's why I became interested in theater in the first place, really, is because I felt that it had a political perspective or could offer a political, stimulate political debate or whatever. I mean, I've certainly done plays that haven't been overly political, but I feel right now we as artists have to be working with communities to get the word out and to try to build an appreciation or a strength in numbers, or just help people think about these things and help them understand that they're not really alone, that there's a lot of people thinking about these things.
Well, this is the 36th season at the Fire Hall there. What's happening after this production of The Enemy?
The next show up is a show called Bombay Black. It's not our production. But it comes up in December, and then in the spring, in January, we do a remount of our production Circle Game, and somebody said to me, "What's political about Circle Game?" I said, "Do you know Joni Mitchell? I mean, do you know anything about Joni Mitchell?" And certainly that was something she was trying to do, certainly through her work. She was trying to make commentary on what was going on. I mean, and it's still going on. I mean, but anyway, that's kind of what we're doing.
And in Circle Game, I mean, this is not the first time that you guys have mounted it. I mean, it remains very popular with audiences, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we did it a year and a half ago, and then it toured to Persephone Theater in Saskatoon this summer, and after it is here at the Fire Hall, it goes out on what we kind of refer to as the Arts Club circuit. The Arts Club is essentially taking our production out to places in the Lower Mainland and Vancouver Island, which is something that it's really difficult for us to do on our own, so we're really thrilled about that.
Back to The Enemy for just a sec. You've set it in British Columbia, and I guess one of the questions I had before we started was, could it happen here? But, I mean, it is happening here, isn't it? And, I mean, a lot of us are consumed with, say, what's happening around the world, especially in the United States. So we don't really think about what's happening in our neck of the woods, if you will. I mean, you just looked at the recent municipal elections and the less than stellar turnout. I mean, turnout did go up, but I mean, we're still not. It's still not up where it should be. You mentioned the proportional representation referendum. I mean, I doubt that we'll see big numbers in terms of ballots returned there. Does that lack of engagement, does that worry you, say?
Yes, of course it does. I mean, I think people's disengagement. Towards voting, and this was something that I saw. I was watching television, and there was somebody after a Trump rally. Someone was interviewing a woman who said that she was 57 years old and she'd never voted in her life, but that he had actually convinced her she should be voting. Now, I don't know whether I'm thrilled she's voting or not, but the fact that people don't feel it's their responsibility to vote is actually, there's a section in the play where it was brought up, and I've integrated that into the play where the young man, one of the newspaper, it's not a newspaper, it's a website, one of the website guys say, you should make sure you vote for the mayor because there's an election coming up, or make sure you vote. And the one guy says, well, why should I vote? I don't know anything about what's going on. And the response is, well, you should find out. That's your duty. And I really sometimes think that we should follow the path of Australia and make it a law that people have to vote. I don't know how successful it is down there, but if you don't vote, you're fined.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, they're very good arguments for that way or another, but we really do need to think about just participating more, even, right? Or getting informed about what's happening in general. I mean, I do worry.
I mean, people are really eager to complain and expect a lot from government.
Yeah.
But if they're not active, I don't quite know why they should have that expectation. I mean, the whole idea of a democracy, I think, is participation in a way, be involved, be part of making these choices. Don't sit back. I mean, it's kind of And maybe this is this comes from my family, I think, because my parents always felt this, and of course, I feel that we're missing something in our education system where we don't spend much time talking about. Well, when I went to school, it was called civics,
yeah.
But responsibility towards governance and things like that. So I don't know. I mean, I can see why people don't feel like their vote is important, but mm-hmm. On the other side of it. Then, and if you really feel that way, then you don't really have a right to judge or expect someone to take care of you either.
Yeah, and anyway, then sort of the apathy. When the apathy sets in, you know that's what makes it ripe for, say, extremism to happen anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. It's always nice to talk, and I guess as they say in your business, break a leg. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this, Donna.
Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you at the show.
Indeed. The Enemy is at the Fire Hall Arts Center the 10th of November through to the 1st of December. Visit firehallartscenter.ca for tickets and information. The Fire Hall Arts Center's artistic producer, who also adapted and directs The Enemy, Donna Spencer, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.